Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and you're listening to the official station for Titans football.
Touchdown, Titans!
104.5 The Zone.
Get the Titans Fireball Fast Pass presented by Coca-Cola and Twice Daily. You can get that for the 2019 season. It's a mobile-only ticket that guarantees you a seat for all Titans home games. You can be in attendance this Sunday for the Colts and all of the other great matchups this year, like the Chiefs, the Saints, the Chargers, all of those teams coming to Nissan Stadium. In addition to the Fireball Fast Pass, full season ticket memberships and group hospitality options are available for the year. You can call 615-565-4200, 565-4200, or visit TitansOnline.com for more information. Dave McGinnis with us on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy, some of the $5 biggie bag. Coach Mack presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mack, good morning.
Good morning,
guys. Let's
say
it officially.
Yeah. Good morning. That was a great way to start the morning off. Great way to start it off.
We're into week two. The Titans were into week two as soon as the the post-game speeches were made in the locker room, game balls were handed out, and the interviews were done from the media side of things. They were looking ahead.
No, that's what good teams do in this league, especially early in the year, because you can get all caught up in the hype of the opening ball game. And then, but this, you're right, Hutton. And the thing about it was, I mean, Rhett was down there. You and I were there on the buses, on the plane, and we don't talk about anything that goes on there other than the fact that once they were done with all of those things that you said in the locker room, they were done with it. You know, they were done with it, and they were on to Indy, which is that's the type of mindset that you need and the type of mindset that you want.
Well, it's needed because this is a head coach that, and Frank Reich, that is light years better than the one they just faced.
Yeah.
This is a offensive line that is light years better than the one they just faced.
Absolutely.
And as far as organization direction, they just have more an idea of who they are and where they're headed.
No,
even without Andrew Luck.
This is a much more put together. This is a team. You know, Cleveland is a collection of talent. Right now, they're not really a team. And the head coach is still trying to find his way. I think that staff is trying to find their way a little bit. And don't get me wrong, I still think that Cleveland team's going to win quite a few games. I really do, because they're a talented team. But Frank Reich, they know what they're doing up there at Indianapolis. And to me, the biggest difference is, just if you want to just start talking about matchups man-to-man, is this center guard triangle that they have going on up there at Indianapolis on the offensive line is as good as there is in the league. And they feature it a lot because they run a lot of what we call geo sweeps, where they'll pull both of those guards at the same time, which makes you relocate your anchor points on the edge of a defense. It also challenges the eyes of your second-level players, whether you've got safeties drop down in there or you've got linebackers, because you've got to read and you've got to move gaps over to do. I mean, this is a much better football team, and Frank Reich knows exactly what he's doing. And I know Andrew Luck's not there. We all know that. We've covered that story. That's done. But Jacoby Brissett, he had a nice game, you know, up there against the Chargers. And that ball game really, and I know you guys know this, and our listeners do too, but that ball game really came down to Adam Vinatieri missing two field goals and missing an extra point. That never happens. That will never happen again. This is going to be a real, real football game out here on Sunday.
We talked last week, Coach, about preparing for a first-year head coach and all the unknowns that go with that. I thought the Titans did a masterful job of preparing what they knew about that team and what Freddie Kitchens' tendencies were and getting a really sound game plan together. You know, for the most part, you talked about this is a ready-made team with the Colts. So you know what they bring to the table, even if it's not Andrew Luck and it's Jacoby Brissett. How does that change preparation for what you want to do? It's also a team you saw twice last year, again, against Andrew Luck, so they know a lot more about you. But how does that sort of change how you go about business with more knowns with this Colts team?
You know, Chad, it doesn't change your preparation, it changes your focus because you've got something more that you can zero in on. I mean, you can focus on, you know, when they're getting ready to play the Browns, they had to cover a lot of areas. And again, I mean, you decide how much of a percentage of time as a coaching staff with an opening game against, as you said, a first-year head coach, a first-year staff, that you're going to dedicate to certain aspects of what they're going to do. And then the rest of it, you say, we'll adjust when it happens. This allows you to focus in a little bit more on what they have done and what you know their strengths are. There's one thing you do know on the defensive side of the football, you are going to face a running game that is really good. I mean, Marlon Mack is the top back in the league in the first week of the season. But Marlon Mack, behind that offensive line and the way Frank Reich calls the game, I mean, especially now with Brissett in there, this running game is going to be very, very critical, and it's going to be from the start to the finish because Frank Reich will not go away from the run game.
Was Jarrell Casey maybe on the ground a little bit more than you're used to seeing in Cleveland? And how much does Nelson versus Casey factor into this game?
No, it's big. It's big because Nelson, again, Paul, I think Nelson is one of the best physical guards in this league. And not only physical as far as coming off and being able to stick his cleats in the ground and knock you off the ball, but he can move, he can pull, he can jump set you, he can do all of those things. He's a legitimate top-tier guard in this league. So it's going to be a big matchup. It really is.
What did you think of Casey in this game? The defensive line was quiet in general in Cleveland. What did you see from Casey in particular?
I thought Jarrell was okay. I mean, and I think Jarrell would tell you that he's. I mean, we've seen him be able to do a little bit more. But what they were asking them to do, and again, the thing that they did do, they did a nice job against the run because the run game up there. You know, we thought going up there that they were going to be able to lean on Nick Chubb some. Well, he was completely taken out of it. He finally turned it over to Baker Mayfield and said, you know, just start gunslinging it because we can't get anything going in the run game. So I thought Jarrell was fine, but look, Jarrell Casey is a multiple Pro Bowl player and he will have sometimes your defensive front, they can play decent football and not have great stats, especially if somebody is dropping back. And especially, Paul, when you look at the launch points that Baker Mayfield was launching from, he was back there at 9 yards sometimes. And that's why your edge people were going to be more prominent as far as if we're talking about sacks for stats.
The Colts ran the ball up and down the field on the Chargers, especially in that second half. When you watch the tape back, Mac, what stands out to how they got things going against what is a talented Chargers defense?
Talented Chargers defense, Hutt, and I tell you what they have. They have mobile offensive linemen that can pull and get their hats on people, and they're very athletic, and plus they're very well the timing of what they do because when they pull, and Mac is a very patient runner, but he's a heavy runner. Okay, he's a heavy runner, and when he sticks his foot in the ground, he's able to crease through. If you only have an arm or a shoulder on him, he's going to crease through you. And as I said earlier in our earlier segment, Frank Reich's going to continue to run at you. He will continue to run at you, and he will make you outscore him first so that he can't run anymore. But I like the design of their run game. I like the athletes up front that they use in their run game, and I really like the way Mac gets in behind them. And he's a heavy, heavy runner that understands where the creases are.
You and I were discussing this matchup earlier this week, and you said the Colts will formation you to death. Explain what you mean.
Well, the personnel group-wise and formation you, they'll shift. You know, they'll do a lot of things, which, I mean, everybody in the league does, but some people do a better job of it than others. As far as some people just do it for window dressing, and pretty soon you understand it's just that. It's just window dressing, and you don't chase it. You sit and wait and look at it. I thought Arthur Smith last week did a great job formationally. He did a great job formationally, you know, with not only his personnel groups, but with his protections. Yeah, those types of things were very well thought out. Frank Reich does the same thing. You have to pay attention to what they're doing personnel-wise and formation-wise. And as smart – look, Dean Pease runs a really smart defense. These guys are smart. That back end are really smart guys. And so once they get zeroed in on their splits and what they're doing out of what personnel, they'll be able to get settled in a little bit more. But Frank Reich does a much better job of it than Freddie Kitchens and those guys in Cleveland were doing.
I'm curious with offensive game planning with Arthur Smith. They have a number of weapons now where you can take the game plan attention off certain guys and shift it from game to game. Corey Davis was more of a blocker in this game, wasn't a big focal point. Adam Humphries, not a big focal point in this game. Is this the type of defense where you could see those guys being a bigger part of what the Titans want to do in this game, or is it more continued? Obviously, Delanie Walker is going to be a part of this, but where they got specific with A.J. Brown and what they wanted from him in week one, how do you see it with Davis and Humphreys in this game?
Well, I think that they'll be specific, but it always, Chad, it's always this. When you make a game plan going in, you're making a game plan with the thought process of this is how they're going to play us. If you go into a ball game and find out because of what they look at, your opponent I'm talking about, they think, no, we're going to play you like this, then you have to be able to have a counterpunch. So you don't go into a game just with saying these guys are going to be the main guys for this ball game, and that's what our plan is. You go in with ideas of what you want to do formationally, what you want to do personnel-wise, what you want to do down and distance-wise, what you want to do field position-wise with people. But a lot of that depends on the flow of the ball game, Chad.
Falling off of what he said, if they come into this game, and they being the Colts, and they say, you know what, our top corner is Pierre Desir, we're going to put him on Corey Davis. Advantage Corey Davis. Put the ball in the air and give it to 84 in that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. See, they're more zone team, Hutt. They're more zone team. They play a lot of 5-2 deep zone. And really, most of their movement defensively comes with their defensive front. When they start moving those two tackles around, when they start, you know, moving Marcus Hunt around, they start moving Denico Autry around, they will shift those guys. We saw it last year. We talked about it on this show last year on Thursdays going up there. They do some unusual things with their defensive tackles where they line them up head up on the guards in what you call two techniques, and they'll two-gap them. They'll also line up in a two-eye, which is an inside shade of the guard, and then they run a lot of games up front. And so it's not so much that you're going to see them, and they don't bring a lot of 5- and 6-man pressure on a consistent basis. Okay, so this is more of a zone football team. If you were going to say where are the percentages and the percentages, you know, since they've been up there, what they do. But if they were to match up man to man, you are right in this. Pierre Desir is their best corner.
Okay, and that would take a lot of communication from Ben Jones, from Saffold, potentially Douglas again, with all the movement up front, especially on the inside of the offense.
No, absolutely. You've got to handle the movement, and you have to handle the different shades, because the different shades, if you're an outside zone team, you know, which the Titans are, or an inside zone team, and they start changing their shades up front, then your combo blocks are a little bit different, and also your backs have a different read, you know, when they're going through there, because they're trying to, and Indianapolis was very, very successful with this all year last year, because those two guys are disruptors up front, you know, with what they're doing. Now, and that's where, you know, Darius Leonard made a big splash in this league last year. Well, that's why, because they were covering up so many people up front. He was able to be a free runner. And so it's important to watch that part of the game if you want to take a deep dive into it.
Hutt was watching Colts in the opener and said that Brissett was passing up some open, deep stuff for shorter stuff, and then talked after the game about the coaches really encouraging him to be patient, to stick with the shorter stuff that was part of the game plan. Seems to me crazy to ask him to pass on stuff that he might see and have a chance with. This is one of the things that drove me crazy about Fisher, who used to say at times, never pass one up to get to another one. Why would they be telling him to be patient if he's seeing something that he feels is there for a chunk play to go for something under?
Yeah, when I watched the ball game and just, you know, looking at the first of all, they were running the ball so well. I think they didn't, if they were indeed telling him that, and if Brissett said they were telling him that, it was probably in conjunction with the fact we're running the ball so well, we've got this under, the only way we can lose this ball game is a turnover. You know, if you've got, we can move, we're winning the chain game, which they did. We're winning the chain game. Let's continue to do that. That would be my thought.
Yeah, he said that there were instances where he would come back to the sideline and know that he had something better than just dumping it down. But, you know, the old saying goes, you can't go broke making a profit. He didn't say that, but that was what he was alluding to here. And he said it was really testing his patience with some of the things he would see from how he could potentially push the football down the field.
Well, that'll be – because he's got a guy that he can push it down the field with. You know, T.Y. Hilton can get down the field. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, T.Y. Hilton can get down the field. And the other guy, you know, offensively, as far as the receivers, that number 11, Deion Kane, he's not a starter, but you just keep your eye on that kid too.
He was hurt last year, right?
Yes. So just keep your eye on him too. But T.Y. Hilton, I mean, we know how good he can be with the ball in the air.
Does Brissett go more inside? Does he pass more to the tight ends than what Luck would have done pushing it to the outside?
Well, see, Luck to me was a guy that saw all of the field so well. I mean, Luck was a big-time generational talent, in my opinion. You know, I mean, he could see the field. He could read the field very, very well. You know, I mean, I've only seen Jacoby Brissett, you know, a lot in 2017 when he played all of those ball games. And to me, when he started out, he was more of a half-field read guy, all right? And I think he's probably progressed. I think Frank Reich is going to do a really good job with him, tailoring what he can do best to what they want to do offensively. But he didn't see the field like Luck did.
Mac, let me, okay, real quick, before we get back to the NFL, I want to read you these stats. You and I, we've called some high school games together.
I love doing that, too. That's fun.
Love having you. Love working with Josh Corey each Friday night on My TV 30. This week, Chad, listen to this.
Yep.
This week, we have Pulaski Academy from Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. They'll be facing Ravenwood tomorrow night. This is going to be a nationally televised game on Stadium.
Nice.
So the team last year was 12-2. They're facing Ravenwood, one of the best teams in the state of Tennessee.
If not
right there at the top. Pulaski Academy is 1-0. They won last week 84-68.
What?
84-68. 1,015 yards of offense.
Wait a minute.
In one game.
Is this high school arena ball or is this high school 100-yard
field? They play the same width of the field, same 100-yard fields, the quarters, everything. 838 yards passing, 177 yards rushing. Braden Bratcher, 9 touchdowns. He's the quarterback, 35 of 52 for 764 yards.
Do you understand?
Get ready.
So they never punt.
They do not punt. They don't kick extra points.
Yeah,
they
go on, 2-point conversions.
They go onside kick every time.
How much fun are you and Josh going to have calling this game? That's going to be great. That's worth the price of admission to drive down to Ravenwood to see that.
You're going to have a three-man booth tomorrow night?
800. How many yards?
1,000.
1,015 yards total offense in one game.
I would love to be with Matt Daniels and the Ravenwood staff at their practice this week to just see how a high school team prepares for all those onside kicks alone. To make sure that your hands team and all the different onside kicks they're going to throw at you, that you're prepared for those.
Keep in mind, the team they played put up 68.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're clearly not practicing a lot of defense at Pulaski Academy. I think what you're giving up when you go onside kick every time is you're going to give it to them at midfield. Probably give up a bunch of points.
I would think Pulaski Academy is just let them score as fast as you can so we can get our hands back on the ball.
Yeah, maybe they'll turn it over. Like, they're trying to just hit the ball every time and see if they can knock it loose.
And if they have the ball on their own 13-yard line and it's 4th and 13.
And they're not punting?
They're not punting. They'll go for it.
You guys are going to have so much fun watching this. This is going to be good. A lot of fun calling this.
It'll be a fun weekend. It leads up to Sunday's game between the Titans and the Colts. Justin Houston.
Yes.
He's got that horseshoe on his helmet now. And
yeah, he does.
He was giving the right tackle for the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah. Justin Houston's going to be a load to handle. I mean, he really is. I mean, he's a little bit, you know, like what the Titans did when they brought Cam Wake in here. I mean, he adds an element to their defense that they did not have last year. And Jabal Sheard is the other guy on the other side. And I tell you what, the other guy, Kamiko Touré, number 57, he can rush off the edge too. You watch Kamiko Touré. So they've got.
You liked him in the draft prior to last year.
I really did. And they have, here's what they have now to me, the difference from this team, their defensive team from last year to this year, they've got a little more edge pressure to them. Now, they were stout last year up the middle. I mean, they still have the same guys. And they still have Darius Leonard back there running around. But the thing that they have now, they've got a little better edge pressure, people. And it looked like that's what they did, is they made a concerted effort to get that done, and they have done it.
Funchess is out. Is that a big deal for their offense?
Well, it's a big deal because he was their big combat catcher. He was their big power forward. And he gave them an element that they did not have. They did not have that. Now, they've got tight ends. And they use multiple tight ends, and their tight ends are like that. But Funchess, all the time that he's been in this league, you know, he's not a speed guy. He's not going to run past you. But with the way the league is, with you know, with the throw it up combat catches in the league and the mismatches, if you can get it, he gave them that element, and they don't have that. Their other receivers are different. He's different than all their other receivers, Hutt.
I thought that this was a great example of Arthur Smith knowing his personnel this past week in Cleveland and how they'll be able to go into week in, week out game plans, knowing what they need to do against that particular opponent. Completely different game plan this week against the Colts compared to the defense we saw with Cleveland. You've pointed that out just in the secondary alone. But, you know, the creative ways to get touches for Jonnu Smith, knowing Adam Humphreys on that third and three where he got separation with the clean-out route by Corey Davis, they should have plenty of options here against this Colts defense.
Well, here's the thing, and we talked about this, guys, and you remember that when Arthur was named the coordinator, one of the big redeeming qualities that I thought that with this appointment was the fact that he knows this team so well and he knows those players so well. He's been with them. He's been with them. I mean, he's been there longer than any of them, and he knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. And the other thing about Arthur Smith is, and again, I know that, you know, he's the last guy that would want any praise or would want any accolades. Because if you know Arthur, I mean, he's a completely, you know, underneath the radar, do your job. And, I mean, I've worked with him, and I really admire him. I like the guy a lot. But to me, what he will be able to do, and now when you have a success like that, you can see the reaction of those players in the locker room when Mike Vrabel gave him the game ball. They were not only reacting to the fact that they had won a game and got a game ball, they were genuinely happy for Arthur because Arthur is all in with them. They know how much work he puts into it, and they trust him. It's important for your players, if you're an offensive or a defensive signal caller, that your players trust you, and they trust you when you implement a game plan on Wednesday. When they know that Wednesday, when you stand up there in front of them, you know, I've done it, and they've got confidence that what you're telling them is going to give them the best chance on that Sunday afternoon, then you've got it. And he's got that in spades with his team, just like Dean Pease does over there on that defensive side of it.
There's something we don't talk a lot about, but the benefit of promoting a coach from within. Someone who's been around the organization that long, he's been under different coaches, but he's been able to see, take notes, and know exactly how he would run the offense the entire time. It's different than bringing in a proven guy who's called plays before at different places, and you throw on the film and show them the guys for the first time, and they have to come up with a plan. It seems the plan was already there for Arthur Smith, right?
Chad, that is such a great point, and it's a very real point, and it's something that is not talked about enough because a lot of times when you're hiring coordinators in this league, you want to go for the flash name. This hire was a great, and I said it from the start when they did it, it's a great football hire. It was a football hire because the head coach is a football person through and through. And what you said is 100% true. And the other thing that comes with that, Chad, let's add another caveat to it. The way to get in the playoffs is win your division. Arthur's known this division for a long time. That's also going to be important. It's going to be important this week.
Pretty good play call on the opposite side, too. Frank Reich can scheme his personnel open better than a lot of people in this league.
Better than most. And that's why I say this is an entirely different look for Dean Pease in this defense this week, because you know, Freddie Kitchens in the end of that ball game was kind of turning it over to a rookie quarterback, and basically he still is a rookie. As much talent as he has, we have to remember those looks that Dean Pease was showing him in the second half. I mean, Baker Mayfield didn't know whether he's foot or horseback. He really didn't. He had no idea what he was looking at. All right, these people will, because Frank Reich will, and he'll have Jacoby Brissett coached up. It's going to be a pretty good chess match in this game Sunday.
You and I are walking to the bus after the game. We're discussing how great of an atmosphere it was in Cleveland. I mean, for all the talk about, you know, pouring beer on Logan and everything, that place was going. There was a buzz.
No, there was a hum
in that building.
It was electricity outside the building.
Yes.
When we were going in, I mean, the night before, I loved that atmosphere.
And we need that here.
We talked about feeding off of it. We need it here. That's exactly right, because I promise you, you feed off of that. As a professional athlete and a professional coach, you feed off of it. And it's I've been in this stadium before as a coach and as a broadcaster, too. We've had some – when this thing is rocking, let's get it going again.
I was telling the story earlier this week. We played the highlight of you. You're kind of laughing in the background as Mike calls the touchdown run back by Malcolm Butler on the pick six. Explain what was going on below you.
Of course, first of all, the fans, we could touch and pet them on top of the head.
Yeah.
All right, because it's an open booth. And Mike Keith is the professional of all professionals, and he's calling the game just like he calls it, okay? But they could hear him, you know, and they were – and every time he would say first down Titans, or he would say, you know
– Wow, I mean, or the sack.
Sack. I mean, they were turning around, and they were telling us we were number one, every one of them, women and men, you know, just screaming at us, shut up, quit talking about it, you know, and I'm –
Children,
going,
too.
And children, too. And so, I, you know, I'm –
We were on a six-year-old, didn't
Yeah, I'm standing up there going – and so – You know me. I mean, I'm, you know, Mike's, and I'm looking at them, and they, you know, they were screaming, you know, another holding. I was going, quit holding them, you know, and I, yeah. They were just, I mean, I was a gas can up there just inflaming it. And then when he scored, this one guy, I thought he was going to have a stroke. I mean, he about stroked out. He finally took his hat off, and we were two tiers up and threw that hat, and it's probably still sailing out over the top of the stadium. It was going. The best thing, though, before I leave, there was one Titan fan with his significant other sitting right in the middle of all these people, and every time we did something good, he'd turn around and, you know, give me a fist bump. Yeah, coach. Yeah, Mike Keith. Yeah. You know, and so everybody's looking. Well, now, once the game started getting out of hand, then the Cleveland fans were beat down. They were just done, okay? This guy turns around to me. He hollers, coach. And, of course, I could hear him, you know, and I look down at him. He pulls out a Cleveland Brown orange shirt from underneath his shirt, and he went, I had an escape plan in case it didn't work out. So wait, listen. He puts it on, takes his Titan hat off. The Cleveland fans give him a Cleveland hat, and then he starts yelling and cussing at Freddie Kitchens like he's a Cleveland fan, and they all started cheering him.
That was great.
It was a tremendous awesome. NFL fan experience.
It's going to be a great atmosphere here on Sunday. Titans and Colts. Mike Keith and Coach Mack on the call, Titans Radio. Our coverage, you can hear me, Rhett Bryan, and Coach Mack preview kickoff. That'll be at 11 a.m. this Sunday morning right here on 104.5 The Zone. Mack, thank you as always.
Yes, it's going to be a great weekend, too, starting tonight with Eddie George and everything that's going on with it. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Thanks, guys.
Dave McGinnis joins us in every show on The Zone presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Visit fbhealthplans.com.